Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall, and I'm joined today by Sean Sullivan helping me work the board. I appreciate Sean being here. We always have a good time when we get to hang out together and talk a little crypto.
Yeah, I got a lot of things we got, whether we do them on this show tonight or Midday Mobile, so many more questions coming up on crypto.
That's
and
great.
Not just NFT ridiculousness, other stuff.
Well, you know, we're trying to steer away from the ridiculousness as much as possible and right. Talk about practical stuff. We did talk about NFT flight tickets the other day, though. Johnny was here, and mm-hmm. we talked about now being able to have your flight as an NFT where you could sell it on the secondary market. That seems pretty practical to me. I can no longer make my trip. Now I can sell it to you. Or, furthermore, maybe I'm... I'm willing to get bumped. I have flexibility.
Right.
I can fly later. You got to fly right now because something came up.
But does that lead to people like swamping and buying tickets for, how about this, Mobile to Atlanta, which is the hardest,
hardest ticket to get. Yet. Yeah. Speculating and buying up tickets. I don't know. That's a good question.
But NFT. Okay. So NFT played tickets.
But you think about it, right? It's essentially you want to go fly somewhere mm-hmm. on short notice.
Mm-hmm.
I am more flexible than some people may be. Maybe I'm going on vacation and I could be a day late for an extra $500 or
The same thing that the airlines kind of do to incentivize, you to give up your seat for somebody and then you can get whatever amount of miles or whatever to use later.
Yeah, so NFTs.
Okay.
But we'll talk about some of those later.
Okay, that makes sense.
Today, though, when we're looking at the headlines, it's real quiet out there in the market as we see all over the place. Everything's on fire. across the board. Bitcoin is hovering around 20 again. That seems to be a number that, people feel good about. I think, everybody should just not look at any prices for the next near term. Like up, down, good, bad. Somebody told me one time, they said, if you're not going to buy or sell when you look at the price, you have to do 10 push-ups every time you look at the price. That was like how they kept themselves from looking all the time.
Or they're going to be really ripped.
We've been talking a lot about decentralized wireless connectivity, and this week we're going to have somebody in that ecosystem as well. It's a group called Hive Mapper. I really like this project, Sean. I think when we first started even talking about the concept of this show, this was the type of mm-hmm. product that you and I were thinking of, right? I'm really excited about this. The way Hive Mapper works is essentially you think about the Google Maps model, but now decentralized. You can put a dash cam in your car and you are doing the mapping and you're getting paid to do the mapping, but you're also getting paid when you use the mapping as well. And there's some really interesting privacy tools in there. So I know our listeners care a lot about that.
Yeah, because they're doing that right now. Google Maps is asking you, is there a speed trap there? There's a speed trap. Can you confirm it's there? Mm-hmm. Those kind of things.
And we're not getting anything for that, right?
Right.
We're just
Google's getting the information and the information on us.
Right. So we're going to have the CEO and co-founder of Hive Mapper come on today. I am really interested in hearing what he has to say and really the vision of how you roll a product like this out across the globe, because they're not starting in just San Francisco. They've picked cities all over the world for the rollout, and that is quite an ambitious undertaking.
So I mean, it's something that just regular Americans that hear about this can participate in, and
yeah, we'll talk to Ariel about it today. But everything from right here in Mobile, let's maybe we can be a iconic way of showing people how you can be mobile in Mobile and be a test market for mid-sized cities. All right, we're gonna head to break, and when we come back, we're going to start diving into Hive Mapper and learn how we can participate in building out the future of mapping and get paid for it.
Hi, it's Paul Feinbaum. College football season never ends. We're your home for coast-to-coast coverage of the game you love.
Paul Feinbaum, weekdays at 2 on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall. joined this week with Sean Sullivan here, working the board for me, keeping me between the white and the yellow. Appreciate that, Sean. Now, I told you we were going to have a great guest on tonight, and I want us to just jump right in and get started. So on the line with us, we have the CEO and co-founder of Hive Mapper, Ariel Seidman. Sir, thanks for joining us.
How's it going? Good. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on the show. You'll find this interesting. When we started coming up with the concept for this show a few months ago, this project was one of the ones that we think is just really interesting and makes sense from a practical standpoint. A lot of this show is just educating people on, you know, what the future is going to look like with Web3 and blockchain technology and how this is practical and applicable for your own life. And man, HiveMapper just hits all those marks. Can you talk a little bit about kind of the company and where you came up with the idea and how you got going?
Oh man, long story. So I'll try to give the condensed version. So I'm a mapping guy. So I'm not a crypto guy. I started my career at Yahoo, specifically working on Yahoo Maps. And so this goes way back. It was really my first job out of school. And it was a fun time because it was a time where Yahoo and Google were kind of fighting neck and neck. And what I observed was Google started to collect their own data. And when they collected their own data for their map, the map just got tremendously better. And it became really clear that unless you were willing to spend ridiculous sums of money, you just weren't going to be able to really compete. And so I always felt like, geez, unless somebody figures out a way to dramatically bring down the cost of mapping on a global scale, that maps are going to be controlled by very, very wealthy governments or very, very wealthy companies. And so that kind of fast forward, you know, what is it, like 10, 15 years, like that's effectively what's happened.
Right.
And so we started HiveMapper like 2015. Originally it was with this idea of building this global map but using drones. Turns out that's a bad idea. Well, it's a good idea, but the technology wasn't there. Specifically, battery technology in the drone didn't really let you fly very long. The regulation around drones is just like atrocious. That's not going to get sorted out for a long time. And so it didn't really scale. And so we said, okay, well, if we can't do drones, then we're going to have to do street level. And so that's really where the dash cam was born. And, you know, like as an entrepreneur, when you know you're onto something, like you just have like the wind at your back versus, you know, when you're kind of like struggling, it just like feels like you're just constantly pushing a rock up a hill.
Right.
And if you do the entrepreneurial thing long enough, you can kind of, you know, very quickly, you know, which camp you're in.
I always find myself pushing rocks up hills.
What's that?
I always find myself pushing rocks up hills. I just must be a glutton for punishment.
I mean, you're always going to push up the rock up the hill in the early days, right? Like, but then at some point, you got to, like, you know, you got to build that momentum or just feel like all of a sudden, like, boom. And so with dash cams, that started to scale and scale really well. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, there was a whole set of problems that we encountered, but it was very clear that it was working, right? Like, people have cars. They have to drive. The dash cam is very, very passive. And so that started to work. And we were paying people in cash at first. And the relationship between the contributors and us was just became very adversarial. If you put yourself in the shoes of the contributor, you really get it, right? It was like, okay, look, there's a transactional relationship. And, you know, you're getting paid cash. You feel like the company is out to screw you. And even though we were like totally transparent with everything, we were like very transparent with everything, et cetera. Like there was just this feeling where we weren't on the same team. Right.
Right. That's a great point.
The Helium white paper. And I started to see what they were doing. It was like very early on, right? They just had a couple hotspots in like Austin and San Francisco. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's like a very clever approach. Where everybody's on the same team, right? And so then we're like, spent about, I don't know, 9 months kind of thinking through, okay, how do we take this concept of crypto, a crypto network, and apply it to mapping network that we're building? You know, fast forward a year after I made that decision, You know, got to know Amir at Helium, got to know the Solana guys, and then ultimately was introduced to Multicoin, and then they led our A round that we closed last year.
Oh, congratulations. That's a great story, and I think it makes sense too, and it's kind of these parallels that we're starting to see. It's like the model makes sense. Now, how do we apply it in new ways, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, we've talked a lot about Helium, and we talked about the Solana transfer, and we just talk a lot about these companies that are trying to, you know, build the people's network. Now you're building the people's map. You know, it makes a lot of sense to me. Let's talk a little bit about the practicality of kind of, I know you're rolling out across the world, which is ambitious and just amazing. It's great to see somebody, you know, tackling it all. But, you know, tell us like kind of how the dash cam works, and it's got an app that connects. Like, I know that you're not collecting all the data, right? So can you talk a little about that for us?
So before I jump into that, can I just kind of maybe rewind to the last question? Because I think it's like this really important thing in terms of like why crypto makes a ton of sense in the mapping world. And I think the, look, Waze, we all use Waze, right? And there's really two parts of Waze from a contributor perspective. There's Waze, you know, you install the app, you drive around, you say, hey, there's a cop here, or, you know, there's an accident here, whatever. And then there's another part of Waze where there's like 20 or 30,000 people that are sitting behind a desk, you know, manually and very tediously editing a map, right? So think of it almost like they have like a Photoshop-like tool where they're like literally being like, okay, this road's a one-way road, there's a stop sign here, all that kind of information, right? And when Google acquired them for $1.2 billion, those map editors and us as contributors driving around with the app, we got nothing. We got zero, right?
Yep.
But all the data came from us. And so if you think about it in the context of maps, like there is no map without all of the contributors helping us build this map.
Right.
And if the map is successful, then boom, like you have an interesting ownership stake in that map. So I think Waze is like this classic example of like, I don't fault those guys, right? Like crypto didn't exist when they got started in like 2007 or 2008. But like, I think if you were to kind of, you know, rewind the clock, would it be more fair and appropriate for all the contributors to actually own part of that? Absolutely. Okay. So, sorry, I wanted to like just touch.
No, I think that's a great point. I like how you tied that up together for us. That's very helpful.
All right. So there's a dash cam. You mount the dash cam in your car. There's two approved mounts. So either front facing, which is probably the majority of people. So if you imagine like you go into Uber or Lyft or like some other vehicle, you often see these dash cams, right?
Right.
And they're usually front facing. So in addition to front facing, you could also put it side facing as well. It has to be facing the buildings. So that's collecting what we refer to as stores and doors. So this would be like, okay, that's South Pizzeria. Oh, there's a parking thing there. Versus the forward facing one is capturing all of the street level information in terms of signage, how many lanes there are, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. That's
so
cool.
You install the dash cam, takes about, I don't know, it's pretty quick. It's like 5 to 10 minutes. They install the dash cam. Then you install the HiveMapper app, and the HiveMapper app connects to the dash cam. And then all of the imagery and location data that is coming off of that dash cam gets automatically transferred to the HiveMapper app that's sitting on your Android or iOS device, or I should say iPhone device. And then from there, when your phone, you know, you get home or you go to the office and your phone connects to Wi-Fi, it will automatically in the background upload all the data.
That's so smart. I see now. So it's batching the information and then and loading it later rather than having to stream it from the camera.
Correct. Because it just keeps the cost down, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, you don't want to be burning through data. I think
a separate data plan or anything like that.
Exactly. I think that's going to make a lot of sense to a lot of people because, you know, people would be concerned because a lot of these crypto projects we do talk about, like, what is the cost to operate it, you know, especially, you know, we Bitcoin mining or some of these other things. There's always, you know, what's it going to cost to operate? Right. So I love that you've offloaded that data into batching, you know, through Wi-Fi when you get back to the house.
I have a AT&T unlimited plan, a data plan. So maybe I'll be like, there is an option in the app. we kind of hit it on purpose. You know, we didn't want it to be like in your face because we realize most people don't have an unlimited data plan. But if you do have an unlimited data plan, you can actually be like uploading and streaming all that data in real time, which is kind of cool.
That is very cool. It's nice to know that option exists. For those of you out there with, you know, unlimited data, that's like grandfathered in from the 90s, I think. I don't know that ever happens anymore.
AT&T like calls me, you know, every year or so, like trying to get me to upgrade. And I was like, do I lose my data, my unlimited data plan? They're like, yeah. I was like, not interested.
Not a chance. Oh man, that's great. All right, so now we've learned about what HiveMapper is. We learned about how, you know, we can get involved. We can put one of these dash cams on there. Tell us a little bit about the rollout. I know you're going to start with some targeted cities, and what is kind of your expectation of the timeline on that?
So we changed it around a little bit. So initially, yes, it was targeted at very specific cities. Well, we decided, well, we changed course on that. So we basically said, is like, look, anybody will be able to map and earn honey tokens anywhere in the world, right?
Okay.
There will be these 35 regions that will earn more than other regions of the world.
Right. You're trying to incentivize collective use of the app. That makes sense.
Right. So what we're really trying to say is like, look, like, you know, let's say next year, fast forward, and we have like 100 million road kilometers mapped. Would you want those all spread out, right, across the entire world? Probably not, right? Because then that means is like no specific region, whether it be like Los Angeles or Kuala Lumpur or Manila, whatever it is reaching like 95 and above percent coverage, right?
Right.
Like everybody's like at 15, 20, 30% coverage. From a customer perspective, that's really bad. Right, customers really need, you know, 95 plus percent coverage, if not more, in these regions for them to be able to buy and use the data.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the rationale in terms of boosting those 35 regions. It's not because we're trying to be mean, but we're trying to like ultimately, you know, serve customers, and those customers really need those, you know, regions to be at, you know, 95 plus percent.
Yeah, that's right. And our listeners should be familiar with that. We've talked about kind of this last mile connectivity before with Helium and Pollen and some of these other, you know, DY, you know, companies. If you don't have ample and, you know, appropriate coverage, then the use is not as efficient or good as you would hope for. You know, it's hard to onboard people.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's really interesting to hear you describe it that way. And I think that you're going to have, you know, people kind of tripping over themselves to get involved in something like this. I know it for a lot of, you know, you mentioned not being a crypto native, you know, coming from mapping. I think everybody listening to this show is also non-crypto native. I don't know, you know, everybody here is native something else and just trying to pick up crypto as they go. So I think that's, you know, a project that makes sense for them. So if I am, let's say I own a fleet of vehicles, right? My crew is already driving around anyway. I mean, it kind of makes a lot of sense for me to just go ahead and grab some cameras and put them in my vehicles that are already making the rounds, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that kind of the targeted user is people who are using their car for work?
The city of Shreveport, Louisiana just bought 50 dash cams to put in their garbage trucks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's a great idea because, you know, you're going to get full coverage of a city because the garbage pickup, you know, is going to reach all the citizens.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And some of those garbage trucks kind of go in really interesting, you know, parts of the city as well.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like the worst thing for us is like a bus, like, I don't know, like a bus in New York City that's just going up and down Broadway all day long.
That's not giving you the coverage you need.
Yeah, exactly. But a garbage fleet, a garbage truck fleet is actually really good.
That makes a lot of sense. Sean, we need to talk to the mayor about this.
And there's a bunch of them that have already joined.
That's amazing. Well, you know, we'll send a tweet out to the mayor, Sean, and see if we can't get Mayor Stimson interested in putting some cams on our on our garbage trucks, maybe.
Well,
what do you think?
We'll set it right now.
All right, buddy, if you got time, stick around with us through the break. We'll come back. We'll talk more Hive Mapper and really just dive deep into this whole idea of, you know, taking control of your data and the work you do when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall, joined today by my good friend, Sean Sullivan. Sean, I appreciate you being here.
Hey, it's good to be here. I could either consume it there at the house or through the app or sitting right here run the board. So,
well, I have more fun when you're here. So
I'm familiar with this thing. Yeah. I can make it go.
I feel like we learned a lot in the first half of the show, but I feel like there's a lot more coming. I just kind of feel like we're getting teed up here and the back half of the show is going to come through strong. So let's jump back into talking about Hive Mapper. So if you were with us before the break, we're talking with CEO and co-founder of Hive Mapper. And what we're doing is we're learning about how we can become a part of basically a Google Maps competitor. I think it's fair to call that. I think even the media is maybe calling you know, the Google Maps killer. Did I read that somewhere, or am I just making up new headlines?
Yeah, I think somebody wrote that. You know, we're still a lot smaller than them, but you know, we definitely aspire to one day dethrone them.
I think that's a great place to be, and you know, I like being the underdog climbing up the hill. Right, people have to prepare to either innovate or get innovated around, and so I love what you're doing there. Let's go back to talking more about kind of the rollout of the camera and how people can get involved. When do you expect the camera to be ready?
Yeah, so we will start to ship the dash cam out in the next couple of weeks. So the network will go live on November 3rd. And so what that means is two things. One is that you will be able to earn honey tokens for all your contributions. And then you will also fulfill all the pre-orders. So I want to caveat that. I want to, you know, just say it a little bit more sharply because we're getting a lot of questions about this now. That doesn't mean that on November 3rd, all pre-orders are going to be fulfilled. But that means is that the manufacturing facility that is assembling them will be at, you know, producing them at much, much higher volumes than they are now. So right now, they're producing them in batches of about 100 to 200. And we're just working through making sure that all the kinks are out of that manufacturing process. And then by November 3rd, we feel like, okay, most of the big manufacturing issues are going to be behind us, and we can start to really turn up the volume to be able to pump a lot more dash cams out and get a lot more dash cams to all those customers that pre-ordered them.
That's great. And so if people want to pre-order now, they can go to hivemapper.com, right? And they can go ahead and pre-order their unit?
They can, yeah.
So that's great. I mean, November 3rd is not far away. I mean, we're right here. Sean, we're on the precipice. We get to talk to these guys before they even launch the
very cool
project. That makes me excited. It really makes me excited to understand more about how kind of the data has already been collected and used. And I guess I just wasn't even paying attention to it. When we're building out, I say we, because obviously I'm going to get a dash cam and be a part of, you know, the community building on Hive Mapper. When we start to build out the map, do you anticipate it allowing us to serve ads inside of there, or will it be ad free in the beginning, or how do you want to build that out?
Yes, good question. So from a business model perspective, all of the data that is collected, the imagery data, all the location data that these dash cams are spitting out and generating, that all ultimately makes it back to Hive Mapper servers where it kind of goes through a whole processing pipeline. And then on the other side of that processing pipeline are APIs that we sell to businesses, right?
Right.
So the thing to remember with Google, there's really two parts of Google Maps. There's the part that you and I use. You know, if you pull up your iPhone, you hit, you know, Google Maps, or my Android device, I hit Google Maps. That's one part of it. In addition to that, they sell mapping APIs to businesses. So Uber, as an example, spends a lot of money to license Google Maps so they can build around it within their own application, right? The same thing for Airbnb and Yelp and 4.5 million customers, right, or businesses.
That makes sense to me.
That's who we're going after fundamentally. Yeah.
I always wondered where that data came from. I said, sorry to interrupt you, but that makes a lot more sense to me now, because I've always wondered where that data came from and how each of these companies was building their own maps. But what I'm hearing from you is they're taking the backbones and just putting new skin on Google's data already.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So even if the funny thing is, like, even if you say, hey, I'm going to not use Google Maps because whatever, you don't like it or whatever the case may be, in terms of your own day-to-day experience, so that, you know, you're like, I'm not going to download the Google Maps app, fine. You're still interacting with Google Maps data many, many, many times throughout the day, throughout the week, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, right? You use all these different applications and services, right? There's probably, you know, if you fill out an insurance application, right, you, like, look up something on your, you know, your local city or local municipality, right? You're probably interacting with Google Maps, whether you realize it or not.
That makes a lot of sense to me as well. And we've had this conversation before, talking about people when they say, well, when's the blockchain going to matter to me? And we say, well, 80% of the world's goods are tracked right now on, you know, a blockchain used by the shipping industry. So if you're ordering anything from around the world, you're already interacting with the blockchain. Same concept, right? Whether you can't really get around Google, you're just going to interact with them whether you want to or not. With this decentralized system inside kind of this DY ecosystem, kind of tell me how you foresee, you know, that kind of growth and kind of, you know, I know you're partnered up with Helium and Solana as well, two companies that we talk about quite a bit. Do you anticipate growing kind of the Helium? Do you want to kind of follow that Helium model? And is that why we're having clarity on shipment of the dash cams?
Yeah, I think that...
Does that make sense to what I'm saying, though? Yeah, like,
So a couple things. One is, you know, Helium has inspired, I think, a whole set of really interesting companies, Hivemapper included, around this concept of proof of physical work, right? Mm-hmm. And so they just, you know, Amir and that entire team is, you know, a very, very special team, and they deserve a ton of credit for what they've created. So a couple things. One is the dash cam uses Helium, to verify location. It's really, really critical that we believe, you know, like, we're a map, right? So we need to know with a very, very high confidence that dash cam that is traveling down Broadway, you know, between 20th and 21st in New York City is actually there and not in, let's say, rural Kansas.
Right.
And so we use the Helium network to help us verify
that.
And so the way it works is by triangulation, right? So if you drove down that location, you saw, you know, a whole bunch of hotspots. I then drove, let's say, an hour, 2 hours later. I should also see those same hotspots. If I don't, then... But I tell you that, you know, all my imagery tells you that, or tells Hivemapper that, hey, I'm in New York, but I didn't see any of the same hotspots that you saw. That would then trigger, I could be cheating, right?
Right.
And that would be a big problem for the map and the trust that customers need to have in the map. So we love using it. You know, it's very, very cost effective. You know, we would obviously love to see it in many more parts of the world, but it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, we're big fans of Helium around here, and I'd love to see the use case. I did not realize that you were using the Helium network to verify location, but it makes a ton of sense. That was actually on my list of things to ask later. That gets into the whole technical stuff that's well beyond my understanding and capability. To give you an idea, what we'd like to say around here is we want our guests to be what we call cocktail party dangerous. Meaning, they need to be able to carry on a conversation, you know, for like one drink at a cocktail party before they bust off and go find another conversation and escape. That's our goal here. So I think we're doing a good job keeping it going that direction. I love that we're also seeing these ecosystems start to work together. And if any of our listeners are on Twitter, Twitter is very active with people in the DUI space. And I'm sure Discord is as well. I'm not as active on Discord because I'm a little older. And so it's one more thing that I'm trying to learn and get, you know, ingrained in my life. But the good thing is knowing that IMAPR runs on the Helium network. We do have large Helium deployment here in Mobile and it's growing. We're going to have even more coverage soon. And so if our listeners are interested in becoming a part of this HiveMapper community, I would encourage you to go out to the website, hivemapper.com, look at the equipment, you know, decide if it's a good idea for you. If it is, go ahead and pre-order. And that way you can be a part of building out this community with us. It's going to be an interesting few years, I think, before people start to understand what's going on. You know, we talk about this crypto bear market. But Sean, one of the things that's fun about this show is we talk to the people who are actually building it, right? I think that it's important that we don't really talk about the price of the coin. We're not talking about like buying, trading, selling, you know, whatever. We're talking about who are the people that are building the future. And as we learn about it, preparing ourselves to, you know, take advantage of that, you know, as the time comes. When you always provide a unique perspective on this because you are my thorn in my side about crypto and everything related. How do you feel about what we're talking about here? And I know you've got some kind of question you need to ask to feel better about this.
No, this what we're talking about makes sense to me. These are the things, it's just like helium stuff. These things make sense. They serve a purpose, right? They either do something that hasn't been done before, or in the case of this hive mapping, you do something, you do it better, and you incentivize all of us to take part in it. I mean, this is why I like blockchain technology. These things make sense to me.
Hey, I tell you what, buddy, if you got Sean's certificate of approval, that is a high mark.
Well, I'm here to be the...
I'm here
to give a dissenting opinion, but on this one, I think it makes sense. There's a need for this. There's vehicles traveling.
They're already traveling.
Yeah, so why not?
Yeah, the proof of work concept, the proof of physical work.
Yeah.
That just makes sense to me. All right, when we come back from the break, we're going to do one more segment and talk a little more about HiveMapper and specifically what we need to do to build this out in the community. All right.
When I get my camera, right?
Well, yeah. Coming back at the break in just about a minute, folks. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall. Sean Sullivan here with us today, and we are talking all things HiveMapper. We're talking about decentralized mapping. We're talking about how you can get involved and participate in mapping as well. But you may be asking yourself, why do I care? And why is this map any better than any other map? So we thought we'd get the expert to tell us. So, sir, please tell us, why is HiveMapper going to be a better option for all of us who are interested in using maps?
So in order to understand like the why HiveMapper approach is different and better, I think you got to understand building maps is very, very expensive. We touched on this at the beginning of our conversation, and so let's say Google Street View, right, as one layer of the map. It's a very, very important layer of the map because that's where most economic activity and human activity happens in and around streets, right? And so Google has their own Street View cars, right, with all that equipment on top of it. So they buy the cars, they pay for the gas, they pay for the driver, they put very, very expensive sensors on it. So between buying the cars and all the sensors and everything, and it roughly adds up to about $500,000 for each vehicle. Okay,
that's
so
a lot of money.
Google's very, very wealthy company. They can't have like a million of these cars, right?
Right.
That would just be crazy. And so what that means is, let's take a place like San Francisco, which is Google's backyard. They can maybe update the very popular streets once every 12-14 months. You go to, let's say, a place like suburban Austin or suburban Orlando, it's more like every 2 years, right? Maybe 2.5 years. If you then go to, let's say, a place like Manila or Kuala Lumpur, Lagos, Nigeria, these are very large cities, very fast-growing cities, maybe every 3 to 5 years, okay? And so that's the opportunity here, right, which is with Hivemapper, we don't own the car. We don't pay for the gas. You know, your dash cam, you get value and utility out of the dash cam. And so it's a much more cost-effective, and we can scale this to many, many more vehicles, right? So having actually like 500,000 vehicles or 1 million vehicles with a Hivemapper dash cam is actually a fairly realistic objective. And so what that means is that you can be updating the map in many, many, many parts of the world much more cost-effectively, much more frequently, right? So a map of Lagos, Nigeria, that's updating every month or two, right, versus every 3 years.
I think that's a
the big
pretty,
opportunity here.
That's a pretty good opportunity there. That is making sense to me as a business owner, and I think all of our listeners who are small business owners, we all visit small businesses. Yeah, it can be a problem if you're having turnover in your business and you're a new place and the map hasn't updated yet. That's really interesting to me because I didn't really think about how long it would take for Google Maps to update their Street View. But it's pretty fascinating.
We were talking about this a little bit before, which is like there's definitely local businesses, right? Like, hey, South Peak Doria Shop is no longer there. Now it's something else, right? That's obviously important and useful information. But there's all these little small changes that happen in cities as well, right? So think of like bike lanes getting introduced, right? A road that was, you know, used to be four lanes that is now two lanes in each direction, right?
Right.
Or something that's turned from like, hey, you'd be able to make a left-hand turn, but now it's a roundabout because roundabouts are actually much safer.
Right.
So all of these changes are happening, you know, I mean, we see some of them happening in our neighborhoods every single day, but now think of it on a, you know, okay, your metro area, right? Then go out to your state, then go out to your country. Like there's hundreds of thousands of these little small changes that actually affect people's daily lives that are happening every single day here just in the United States, right? Now go to the rest of the world, right?
I think that's a great point, you know. That is starting to make a lot of sense to me. And especially if you need that up-to-date real-time data. You know, one of the things I saw on Twitter, just as an aside, before we, you know, kind of wrap up, because it's been such a great show, is you were talking about this concept of using Hivemapper to map murals, right?
Yeah.
Just a really cool idea from a tourism perspective. I have a tourism business here, and one of the things I think about is, man, if you could map all the murals, and then people could, you know, somehow export that data and, you know, all the murals in your city and how to go see them. That seems like a fun thing that people would do when they travel to new cities.
Yeah. I was in New York. In New York has obviously like a lot of really cool city art murals like that. And I love that stuff. And I just kind of posted it and I was like, it would be really cool, right? To like be able to just like have within Hivemapper, like a database of all these amazing art. I was actually thinking like even beyond that, like maybe there's a way to turn them into an NFT or something like that. That's like another whole other topic.
Yeah, watch out with that NFT word. Sean gets nervous when we talk about NFTs.
Oh, no.
But I'm with you. I think that's a great thing. And we have a lot of public art here along the Gulf Coast. So we're right on board with that. I was joking with you about mapping, you know, the murals, but that'll be one of the first things we do.
Yeah, I mean, I think y'all are on to just 1 second. That you could package that information. We could go to current mapping software and search specifically for a mural that's on the corner of Main and 12th Street, right? It'll show us that location. But to be able to search the information that's in Hivemapper, not based on a street address, but a thing.
Show me murals.
Yeah.
Right.
And not just pizzerias, right. Murals.
Yeah. Street art.
Yeah. That's
cool.
You could batch all that together.
I know.
That's.
We need to tweet a
thumbs
visit.
Up.
We
thumbs
need to tweet
up.
A visit Mobile.
Yeah, thumbs up. Yeah.
Well, we're going to have everybody tied into this thing.
This is like the cool part, right? Which is, you know, Hivemapper is fundamentally a tool, right? It's a mapping tool, you know, that helps you build maps. And so people will, you know, we're providing the core basics, right? And then people are going to take those tools and do like incredible things with them. Mm-hmm. And that's really like what like me as an entrepreneur, as a builder, like that's the fun part, right? Is like enabling all these other really smart, creative people to do just really cool shit with it.
Yeah.
And so hopefully, you know, it looks like the mural art idea struck a chord with a lot of people. So hopefully somebody runs with that.
Oh, look, I'm going to be mapping the ones in Mobile for sure. I mean, there's no question about that. We'll start here with this city and see if we can't, you know, kind of spread the word around there. All right, we got about 90 seconds or so before we're going to close up the show. And I want to give you the platform, and this is your 90 seconds. And just tell us, you know, tell our listeners more about Hive Mapper, why they should get involved, how they get involved, and kind of what you want them to know.
Yeah. So look, the big idea here is that, you know, a map should not be owned by one company, right? A map should be owned by the people who inhabit this earth, right, which is all of us. And so we feel like if we can give people all the right tools where they can help contribute and build that map, then we can start to really change the power structure here, where it's us the people who actually take ownership of this world and how we navigate it on an everyday basis. And so that's the exciting part to me, right, which is like, you know, 75 years from now, I hope we're not talking about companies that own this really critical digital infrastructure, something as important as a map and how we get about and move around this world, but I hope it's something that we all own, right? Because it's so core to who we are as human beings and how we move around this world. And so that's, if you believe in that idea, right? And if you believe in this idea that, you know, while maps have made a lot of progress over the last 10 or 15 years, we're not done here, right? There's always a new chapter. There's always a way to do it better than the incumbent. Then we would love, you know, for you to kind of come on board and help us build that. You
that
know,
sounds
whether
great.
You're in a little small island in the middle of, you know, the Pacific, or you're in a big city, or you're in a rural part of the country, it doesn't matter, right?
I love that vision, and it makes sense to me. And I think it'll make sense to our listeners as well. If you want to learn more, go to hivemapper.com. You can learn more. You can get involved. You can pre-order your dash cam. And as we talk about around here, you can't solve 21st century problems with 20th century solutions. So I'm glad that Hive Mapper is providing that 21st century solution. Thanks for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. Until next time, folks, thanks for joining us.